chapter 29, verse 18, and this is the King James Version. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Good morning. This is Connor Boss. In 2012, Connor Boss was 18 years old, and she entered the Florida USA Beauty Pageant, and she made it to the Final Five. She didn't win, but she made the Final Five. And the thing that's really impressive to me about that is she's legally blind. And I mention that because I think she looks good, but doesn't see good. And I'm wondering this morning, which of those you think is most important? If you don't know, I've had cataract surgery a couple of weeks ago, and so I've been thinking a lot about sight and vision and blindness, and I promise after today I'll move on to something else. But it's good to see you this morning, by the way. These are temporary glasses. I have my eyes done where I can see well up close, but I'm going to need glasses to see in a distance. And my friend Sandra found me a really cheap pair of glasses that I can see distances with. She said these were the most masculine frames she could find. Her husband, who has fitted a lot of people with eyeglasses, said, they don't fit right. And my wife said, you may wear them out in public, but only temporarily. All right. So I'm going to wear these for a few weeks, and it is good to see you. I will, however, be looking out the bottom of them to be able to read my Bible this morning. So if I take these off, I don't see well or look good. So I might as well keep them on, right? So I want us to think about vision this morning, and before I go on, I just want to point out that some people, in their attempt to look good, that was such a dramatic moment. Could you just click on that Prezi one time? To look good, end up not being able to see good. So I just thought I should mention that. Okay, so the question is, what kind of vision is most important? What kind of vision is most important for us in our lives? Now, that verse in the King James Version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I asked him to read that in the King James, which may have surprised you, but I'm betting that's the version of this verse that you've heard. And I'm betting that you've heard people use this verse, and probably you, some of you, have used this verse to prove that we need vision in order to live well. And I'm betting that people who use that verse define vision as an image of a desirable future, a preferred future. And I'm betting that people have used that to inspire us to go in a certain direction. You hear that a lot. That's a kind of vision that is really celebrated in our country. And I think it's a useful leadership tool. I think if you can paint a picture of what you want your life to be, or your church, or your business, and you can hold that picture up for people and say, this is what we can be, I think that's a helpful leadership tool. We've done some of that around here, right? We have a vision. I think you've got to make sure you actually live according to your vision, but we've used that leadership tool. The other thing I think about that, however, is that that's not the kind of vision that's meant in this verse. It's not what the verse is talking about. If you picked up a bulletin and actually read the front of it, which I'm not assuming, by the way, you may know I'm about to ruin some of your favorite verse. you know. And I feel like as I study the Bible and some of my favorite verses are ruined, I'm going to ruin them for you as well. So that's what we're going to do this morning, is we're going to ruin this verse for you. Actually, I hope that we will see the meaning of the verse a little more clearly and hear what it does have to say for us. The main reason I know that it's not talking about the kind of vision that Americans are always talking about is because I read the whole verse. And Hebrew poetry, such as the Proverbs, is characterized especially by two parallel lines. The lines most often either say the same thing as each other, only in different words, or they say the opposite of each other. And in this case, we have an opposite. So read the whole verse again in King James. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So the opposite of perishing is being happy. Those are parallel. And the opposite of no vision is keeping the law. So those are parallel. And what that tells us, if you read it as Hebrew poetry, is that vision and law, God's law, are parallel. Both of them are messages received by revelation from God. That's the kind of vision he's talking about. He's talking about God appearing to people in a dream or giving them a vision as a revelation of his will. Both of them are messages revealed by God. One of them's visual and one of them's verbal. Now, if you read it in a version like the English Standard Version, they make that kind of clear. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And so you kind of, the way they translate it, tips you off as to the kind of vision being referred to so that we won't misunderstand it. And then the NIV translates it even more loosely, frankly, but still I think has the right idea when it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. All right, tell the truth. How many of you were going to use this as a proof text? You went and looked it up in your NIV and it didn't say it right. Anybody ever done that? The first time you read it in a different version besides the King James, you go, wait a minute, they didn't say it. Well, they actually kind of did say it right. They said what is really meant by the verse. Now, let me say a few words about vision. In the Bible, this kind of vision, God did often reveal his word through visions or through dreams. I want to read you a couple of verses like that. One of them is in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6 that says, when there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. It's another parallel line. But God is revealing his word to a prophet in visions and dreams. And you've got that a bunch of times in the Bible. Isaiah begins his book in Isaiah 1:1 saying the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz. And there are other visions in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia calling him to come help them. So there are a number of visions in the Bible, and that is the way he revealed his word a lot in the Bible. And I don't really think it's my place to say that doesn't happen anymore. I try hard not to tell God what he can and can't do. I think that's probably a pretty good procedure. to follow. But at the same time, I don't mind saying that I think we need to be really, really careful about visions and dreams, because it's such a subjective matter, and nobody else can verify if somebody says, I had a vision. It's just really easy to understand, man, some of the dreams I've had, I know God's not talking, because they're jumbled, you know, all kinds of weird stuff put together. And I just think we need to be really careful. And I wanted to read you one verse about that, because they had that problem back in the Bible even. In Jeremiah chapter 23, let me read a few verses, beginning at verse 15. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says concerning the prophets. I will make them eat bitter food and drink poison water, because from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has spread throughout the land. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In the days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. It's pretty clear. And again, I'm not saying God can't or won't or didn't do that. I am saying we need to be really, really careful about thinking about how God reveals his word to us through visions. And there are some other verses that say essentially the same thing. What I think is more objective and clearer and more certain is what is referred to in the second half of the verse, and that is his law, the verbal revelation of the message from God. And let me talk about that for a little bit. For a lot of us, law has a very negative connotation. We know we're not saved by keeping the law. And we know the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of the Jews in the day distorted God's law and did all kinds of weird stuff with it. And so it's easy for us to get a really negative view of the law. Don't forget, Paul also said the law is holy and righteous and good. Paul said that. We may forget that. The psalmist said, your law is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I love the reading in Psalm 19. I want to read a few verses from here too. Listen to what he says about the law and see if this is your perspective on what God's law is. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. That's a really high view of the Torah, the instruction that God has given us. And don't forget that that famous passage in 2 Timothy 2 that says all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, instruction, training, and righteousness is talking specifically about the Old Testament. Now it applies to all scripture, but he's talking about the Old Testament there. When you couple with that the revelation through Jesus, you have a broad, comprehensive and objective message from God to lead us in our lives. Hebrews begins by saying, in the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets in many and various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. And the Son, S-O-N, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His nature. James describes this revelation that we have through Christ as the perfect law, not a law code, but a perfect instruction that gives freedom and that we are to look at intently and continuously and obediently. He says all of that. And we're supposed to respond, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, to the word that we have from the apostles, whether by letter or verbally. So all of that is God's revelation to us. And I believe that's the most important kind of vision we can have. We are on a journey in our lives, and it's easy to get distracted, and it's easy to get off track by the way we live or by the way we think. We need vision to walk well. And I believe the best place to get that vision is from the Word that God has revealed to us. But having said that, I will also say that that Word is not always easy to understand. There's difficulties with the written Word as well. Maybe you remember the Pharisees who searched the Scriptures that they might find life, but wouldn't come to Jesus. They just got stuck on the Bible without letting the Bible point them to Jesus. You may remember that at Ephesus, there were some people who wanted to be teachers of the law, even though they didn't know what they were talking about. Or you may remember Peter's statement that Paul wrote some hard stuff. That one's always been a little bit humorous to me, because I don't know that I understand everything Peter said either. But Peter wrote that some of the things in Paul's letters are difficult to understand, which ignorant and unstable people twist to their own destruction. So there's some difficulties in grasping God's way through the Scripture as well. And so because of that, I want to encourage us, if we want correct vision, clear vision, good guidance to keep us walking in the right way, to do some things. I want to encourage us to do our best to understand what God has given us. Paul writes to Timothy and says, do your best to present yourself to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. It's easy to handle the word of truth badly. And if we're going to handle it well, one of the things we need to do is our best. That word means be diligent. Make an effort. Exert yourself to handle God's word correctly. Don't just go hearing some proverb and say, hey, that kind of sounds like this, and using it out of context. Be diligent and really seek to understand what God has given us. Second, I think we really need His help if we're going to understand His Word. It is His Word. It's inspired by Him. The Holy Spirit uses it like a sword to do His surgery on our hearts. So we need His help. The best way to figure out what somebody meant by when they said something is to ask them. So we need to be praying and humbling ourselves before God. When I was in college, they taught us a detailed six-step procedure for understanding a passage of Scripture. And through all the six steps, not a one of them said a thing about discussing it with the one that wrote it. No point there was there about praying that God would help us see the light, see the truth. Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." Which makes me think we better be humbling ourselves before the author and asking for His help to understand the things that He's written. Another verse I really like is 2 Timothy 2:7-ish, that where Paul tells Timothy, "Reflect on what I'm saying, and the Lord will give you insight into this." So by reflecting on the Word, God helps us see what He's saying. And the third thing I want to recommend is that we help each other. When you get off by yourself, isolate yourself, you can think whatever you want. There's nobody to call you an idiot. Now, hopefully we won't call each other idiots either, but we can help each other. Paul told the Romans, I think you're competent to counsel and instruct one another. And he said, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. And we know God has given us teachers, but according to Hebrews 5, there's a sense in which after a while, we all ought to be teachers of some kind so we can help each other understand what God has given us. If we want to see well, I think this is the best place to go. But we got to do our best. Be diligent about it. Seek God's guidance and help each other with it. I'm so thankful that I got to have that surgery. The fog is gone. The fog creeps in on you when you start getting cataracts. And after I recovered, the swelling went down. They took the shields off my eyes. I could already see a lot better because the fog was gone. I want to make sure that we all know that our desires fog up our spiritual vision. I want to make sure that we all know that the secular society we live in fogs up our spiritual vision. And if we want to walk well, we need to see well. And if we want to see well, we need the guidance of God's Word. If you want to talk to somebody or pray with somebody about whatever's going on in your life, whether you saw it coming or not, we'll have some of our shepherds and their wives at the back, and you can talk to them and pray with them right now while we stand and sing this song together.